Hi, this is Robert Wickens from Canada, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial. In the second part of the show, this is podcast number 443, July 21st, 2010. Stephen?
This F1Weekly podcast is brought to you by Cameron Karting, the proud organizer and sponsor of the 2010 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Check them out at CameronKarting.com. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Mark Webber says he said way too much in public. Shandok sits while Yamamoto drives on. McLaren set to name their number one driver. And, of course, Motorsports Mondial will not be with the King because the King is actually in Karachi.
Woohoo!
So he's visiting family in Karachi. And, of course, he will be off to Hockenheim to cover the Grand Prix, GP2, and GP3 races. Steve, welcome to the studio, and I want to quickly add that we do have a great set of interviews for today's program, and we call it the O Canada Special. And of course, we're talking Teddy Yip, of course, Teddy Yip Jr., his father, obviously famous, former Formula One team owner back in the late 70s, early 80s. But Teddy Yip Jr. is the team principal at Status Grand Prix. And, of course, their two drivers will be Daniel Murad and Robert Wickens. All three will be joining us after Motorsports Mondial. Once again, Steve, how are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Absolutely outstanding. I'm excited about these three interviews. Really great stuff. Of course, I will be bringing Motorsports Mondial with less zest and vigor than our esteemed colleague does, but nevertheless,
a couple fewer puns.
You know, I'll bring everybody up to date with the motorsports news. So anyway, there you have it. We've got the German Grand Prix right around the corner. A lot of stuff happening, including now Jacques Villeneuve will be starting his own Formula One team. At least he's trying.
He's trying.
And apparently, and this is great stuff, Colonel Gaddafi himself from Libya.
Actually, I thought it was his son.
It is his son, but still, Colonel.
He's probably Colonel Gaddafi too.
Exactly. He was Colonel.
Is it his like hereditary? It's a hereditary rank.
Exactly, and I like it. They never aspire to be generals in the Gaddafi family. They go for the bird.
Probably don't have a big enough army to be a general.
Well, that's okay. You know that Gaddafi always drove a convertible Volkswagen Bug. So there you have it, a little trivia.
A little rough on the skull when you're driving around Libya in the sun.
No, there's people with umbrellas
running alongside.
Of course, Steve.
Should have known.
Anyway, so yeah, Jacques Villeneuve, he's that desperate to get into Formula One, and I really think it's ridiculous. Also, he'll be driving in the Brickyard 400, which means that he will have driven in all three Grand Prix that are held at the Brickyard, meaning the Indy 500, the U.S. Grand Prix, and the Brickyard 400. No, Steve, he's not doing the MotoGP race.
Well, I'm trying to come up with the... Don't know that I've ever heard a NASCAR race called a Grand Prix.
Excuse me, Stephen, but there is a purse at the end of the race. Therefore, you may call it a Grand Prix.
Ah, okay.
Thank you.
Because there's a grand prize.
Exactly.
And those guys make some pretty good change on their prize money.
Yes, that's why NASCAR is so popular. Ask Juan Pablo Montoya. He's not gaining weight just for fun. It's the wallet.
Yes. and all those hot dogs you can buy.
Exactly. So there you have it. Pretty exciting stuff. Anyway, let's go quickly. Red Bull, of course, always in the news. Mark Webber comes out saying he may have said too much. And I actually, when you start thinking about it, you know, who was brought up better? Sebastian Vettel or Mark Webber? And I don't want to get into, you know, dirt here. But still, I think maybe Mark Webber should have kept a lot of this under the carpet.
Yeah, basically, that a lot of that stuff that happened probably was stuff that should have been handled behind closed doors instead of over his car radio.
Absolutely, and I think it did show a lack of maturity, but also a certain level of frustration. And once again, as it does with Fernando and some of the other drivers, you know, those type A personalities, some of them just can't be so cool all the time, especially when you... when you're at that level for the championship, fighting amongst the best team on the grid.
Exactly. It just the adrenaline rush has just got to be intense.
I'm sure it's very intense. So I think Mark Webber's clearing the air, so to speak. They all do that.
You know, it's basically, it's, you know, always easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Keep up the good work, Steven. And, of course, Sebastian Vettel, his thoughts were that we're all egotistical bastards, and let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, well, you almost have to be to get to the level they're at.
Well, that's my point. I'm always saying that, and we'll see what happens. I think things will be calmer in Germany. Of course, Sebastian Vettel's home Grand Prix, Schumacher's home Grand Prix, Nico Rosberg's home Grand Prix, Adrian Sutil's home Grand Prix.
Got a couple Germans in the series.
Home Grand Prix. I mean, this is going to be a German Brockwurst festival. It's going to be out of control. I hope there's Oompa bands and everything.
Big, massive steins of beer.
That too. Wrong month, but it's close.
Yeah, who cares? Yes, it's Germany. Exactly.
So, yeah, it's amazing how many Germans are on the grid.
Yeah. They have a history of producing race car drivers.
Really?
And race cars.
Huh. Who would have known? So, yeah, that's going to be pretty exciting. But we'll see. Even the owner, Mateschitz, came out and said that it was vital for the team to not interfere in the drivers' rivalry after admitting that the front wing situation in Silverstone was a unique circumstance. If you ask me today who will be champion, I say one of our two drivers. But the pits must not interfere because then the problem begin in earnest. So he also says we do not have a number one or a number two drivers. Both are in the exact same car, and there you have it, and there you go. So, you know, the same old story. We've heard it a million times.
Yeah, it's we're not favoring any driver.
No, don't worry. This is going to get much better because at McLaren, we have, you know, no number one, no number two, which is poppycock because right now they're talking about how Lewis Hamilton is actually leading the championship. Jenson Button is second. And as we move on through the season, and if that remains that way, eventually they're going to tell Jenson, you know what, Jenson? You'll have to help your friend here, your bosom buddy.
Frankly, I think that if they're within 25 points of each other, you can't really do anything of that.
Yeah, but that...
But it's McLaren, and it's most people believe it to be Lewis's team. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, if I'm McLaren and they're both doing well, I don't mess with it until, you know, maybe you're at the last race or something. Or heaven forbid for McLaren, the Red Bulls get their act together and blow right by them.
Yes, which is what a lot of people are hoping or counting on. But I have to admit, the love fest at McLaren is a bit unnerving. It's almost... unnatural.
Yeah, well, like I said last week, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're both already world champions. So there's
that's true.
A little bit of that
edge
that particular edge is off for both of
good
them.
Good point, because they've already reached a really large goal in life.
Yeah, they've really, really kind of reached the pinnacle, and now it's just kind of gravy. You know, if you get that second one, oh yeah, I'm a two-time world champion.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, these days isn't so much of what it used to be, you know, now with Michael with his seven. You know, it's kind of like, oh, you've got two.
Yeah.
But I have so many more.
I agree. But still, that YouTube video of Lewis Hamilton and Jenson Button in the Volkswagen, the vintage Volkswagen van, I believe belongs to Jenson Button. It's pretty cool. And they're cruising towards the Grand Prix at Silverstone. and they stop and they get little knickknacks at the store and they hand out free grandstand tickets. Not, you know, high-end tickets, but grandstand tickets for the people.
For grandstand tickets at Silverstone were still pretty expensive.
Yeah. No, and but there was just too much loving in this video.
And then Jens even gives Lewis a ride home after the race.
Yes. There's just way too much hugging. I prefer what we see...
At Red Bull, you got two guys who really yes, want it. That's
exactly.
Two guys who want it.
Even at Ferrari, where you see Felipe Massa and Fernando Alonso really don't talk at all. But there is no issue because Fernando's always out-qualifying them.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I think the QB doll's kind of in the corner.
Well, yeah. So
just going, as long as I'm here next year.
And of course, McLaren will be coming back to Germany and trying their blown diffuser one more time.
Again, I didn't read anything in the article about whether or not they'd made any tweaks to it or whether or not they're coming back with the same one to see if it will perform better at Hockenheim than it did at Silverstone. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they actually race with it.
Well, it says right here, despite the problems we had at Silverstone, we are optimistic that the device... Nuclear device. That was my favorite song by the Stranglers. That the device will be raced this weekend in Germany. So
interesting how he says device when it, you know, it's like the entire rear end of the car.
Well, you know, apparently it comes off pretty quickly. Also, of course, there's a tire issue this weekend. Apparently the soft compound is made out of peanut butter.
No. It's spirit gum.
Yeah. It's so soft that, it's got maybe 3/4 of a lap in it.
That just, you know, I like the idea of coming with this after compound, kind of like we did in Canada, but at least in Canada it lasted for 3 laps. You know, for a tire to last a lap, when you start on the softs and... pulling after the first lap?
I think you're going to see spare tires on the back of the cars.
Somebody wrapping some gauze around the tire.
I don't know, but obviously, you know, what happened in Canada was somewhat of it's a template that they're now using to hopefully add some pizzazz and sex appeal to some of the future races down the pike.
You know, if you really want to do that, come with two softer compounds, so you have to have more than one tire change.
That would be exciting. I agree. So there you have it. I think, and all the drivers will be commenting. And Friday practice once again will be very interesting.
Oh, huge! The first practice is going to be something to watch to see how long those tires really last.
It's going to be everybody's going to be watching the blown diffuser on the McLaren and the tires, and of course Renault have some concerns because now everybody has the F duct. But they haven't gone shopping and picked one up yet. They don't plan to have the F-duct until Spa-Francorchamps.
Well, Spa would be the track to have it for.
Well, and that's where they're shooting for. But still, no F-duct for Renault. And Kubica, if we know Kubica, he will have that Renault in the top five. He's a professional.
Yeah, frankly, we've seen that it improves performance a little bit. But... all it really allows you to do is give yourself a little bit more downforce in the slower corners. And in most cases, it doesn't buy you a great deal on an individual lap. You're talking maybe a tenth if it works out really well for you and you get the balance of the car just right. But, you know, we've seen this since the beginning of the year, and it looked really good that first week, but the blown diffuser seems to me to have a lot more potential for improvement than the F-duct does.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Spa-Francorchamps is the right track to
bring the F-duct out. Yeah, if you want to stall your rear wing, Spa's where you want to be able to stall it.
We'll be looking forward to that. But no, this is going to be a great Grand Prix. Of course, Schumacher, you know, he's going
to returning to the home, to the fatherland.
The fatherland, the motherland. And it's going to be an exciting race for a lot of Germans. I think it's going to be a great crowd. I mean, it might not be as electric as Silverstone, but still, this is going to be a great race.
Well, the Germans are going to be excited because their boy's probably going to be in the front row. And then the fact that you've got Schumi back, and then you've got a couple of new kids, you know.
Yeah. The only part that they're not going to be excited about is the BMW Saubers powered by Ferrari.
Yeah, that's going to be a little
bit. You know, Bavarian Motor Works, I don't know what's going on there. But hopefully...
And frankly, that the way that contract and rule is written is really, just to me, kind of stupid.
Well, it's getting worse with all the problems with sponsorship and in the paddock, you know, where all the trucks have their... sponsors and the name of the company, you know, Renault, Ferrari, Mercedes, and they had to take all that off due to some contractual situation that hopefully they'll be able to clear up soon, because apparently all of the paddock belongs to somebody else, not all these teams, and it's gotten severe.
That's really weird.
But that's the way it is, and that showed its ugly head in Silverstone, and we'll see where it goes. Also, the excitement, of course, is over at HRT.
Oh, it's the musical driver's seat at HRT.
Well, obviously, Yamamoto's pulling in some cash.
Obviously pulling in some
serious
money. Some pretty good change if he's able to kick out either driver.
Yes, and I sort of feel sorry for Karun Chandhok. But I have to admit, though, Yamamoto, for the first time driving... did a decent job.
Yeah, he did not look, you know, he was no EJ Ude, so...
Exactly.
So he was competitive.
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 Compared to
his teammates. The car he's in is uncompetitive, but correct. He was competitive with his teammate. You know, and if he's got the kind of cash to pull it off, you know, more power to him. You know, it just shows that it was kind of a flip between him and... Kayumi, as far as who was the better driver coming out of Japan.
Well, to be honest, well, that's true. But still, I think HRT at this level, they need money for development.
Yeah, get the cash, get the best guy.
Exactly.
And frankly, it's a situation too where, you know, musical chariot drivers, you don't necessarily need any specific driver. The kid's going to bring money, or if you just want to try out a kit to see, maybe you find the next Sebastian, you know, just happen to stumble across the next Sebastian Vettel, hey.
I agree.
You can sign him to a contract and then sell his contract to somebody for some change.
Of course. No, I think it's great stuff. And I think HRT are making good decisions here. You need the money. Bruno Senna or Chandhok, at the level where they are at, that team is not going to be competitive for a long time.
Or at least that.
Get the development, get the time on the track, and if you have drivers bring in cash, let it be.
Yeah, exactly. You can't. Beggars can't be choosers.
Of course, the other driver that's on the track that's fighting for his drive to keep it, and that's Vitaly Petrov.
What did they say in the pit? Five drivers lined up for that seat?
Yeah, yesterday it was seven drivers lined up for the seat. A lot of that, I think, is a bunch of crap. And I bet you, in the end, they wind up signing Vitaly Petrov.
Well, I think Petrov's got the seat for the rest of the year.
Well, that's
unless
for sure.
He's
got it for sure.
Unless he completely tanks.
No.
There's
not
no
that
reason.
Bad.
The other reason you don't want to, again, sometimes you see this and it's like, wow, the kid's finally gotten a little bit of experience. Let's get another one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, wait a minute. You just wasted a year on this kid, and now you're going to go find somebody else? Unless you've got like a major upgrade, you know, it's like, oh, we're gonna get Sebastian Vettel next year. Bye, Vitaly. But if it's, you know, it's kind of like, okay, oh well, maybe we could get I don't know, Kimi Räikkönen. Okay, sorry, Vitaly, that makes sense. But if it's gonna be basically a rookie for a rookie, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and Kimi Räikkönen is not coming back to Formula One next year.
No, I think didn't we see last week that he signed up for another year with
I don't know if it's
Red Bull.
I don't know if it's confirmed, but I'm sure. I can't say I know for a fact, but he will be driving for Citroën next year.
Oh yeah, he's having too much fun.
Yeah, I completely agree. So there you have it, and there you go. Other news. Which I thought was pretty interesting, is Romain Grosjean. You know, Nasser loves Romain.
Yeah. Well, he's been tearing it up in the series he's in.
In the AutoGP series, usually pole position, then wins. But this weekend, he will be replacing a driver over at DAMS for the GP2 race at Hockenheim.
That should be an interesting thing to see what he can do with that.
Well, I think he's got to do something. This is the chance.
This is kind of the open door to kind of maybe get himself back in the eyes of the Formula One principals.
Exactly. And I'm hoping that our Nasser runs into him and does an interview.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
It would be sweet. But good for Romain Grosjean back in GP2, and he'll be replacing Jérôme D'Ambrosio, who was being stood down for one event only because his management, Gravity, seeks to improve his performance. Interesting.
So, sitting him down to get the message across?
Yeah, apparently he won the Monaco sprint race, but since then he's been struggling ever since. Mm. So they're hoping a little Romain Grosjean in his seat spices up the energy again or something. We'll see what happens.
Or maybe some of Romain Grosjean's, je ne sais quoi, rubs off while he's there.
I don't know, but I hope Romain Grosjean does a great job because that's going to be great. Any predictions for this weekend, Stephen?
No, you got to bring up one more story before we move on to that.
You sure?
Yeah. Bernie Ecclestone.
Come on.
Saying that
we
Monaco.
We don't need Monaco. It's junk.
Yeah, it's old school.
Who needs that jewel crown crap?
I saw that article and I'm like going, who hit this guy over the head with a brick?
It's like, Russia, Korea, you have India coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty soon, Sofia, Bulgaria. I don't know where. Yeah, apparently,
there is a level to greed at some point where, you can really only deal with so much money.
Well, apparently, they don't pay a fee for the Grand Prix at Bernie doesn't get his usual $25 million just to have the right to have the Grand Prix.
Okay, what idiot signed that contract?
Well, it's been going on for years.
And yet, frankly, I think that if Bernie really wanted money for that one, he could probably get the teams to give him money to go race there.
Well, all he has to do is come up with a sponsorship deal. I mean, it is the crown jewel of automotive racing.
Rolex.
Could you imagine?
Some yacht company.
It would just be a PR disaster to announce that the Grand Prix of Monaco is not on the calendar. I can't even imagine it. I mean, I remember how shocked I was when Spa wasn't on the calendar a couple of years ago.
Yeah, at some point, there's a foundation in this sport. The sport has been running for in excess of 50 years. Formula One itself, basically, for almost 60 years. And to basically take the one race that's pretty much run continuously the entire Formula One era would just be idiotic.
It's just as important as Silverstone, as Monza.
Frankly, Spa, tracks like that, Bernie, you don't need another $25 million sanctioning fee from Monaco to race there. I'm sure that he gets, everything that he, his hotel is probably gratis while he's there. They probably feed him for free while he's there. It's good. Come on, Bernie, what more do you need?
Yeah, it's a little silly, but that's just the way it is. Bernie is a greedy SOB.
Well, he's got to be a little bit more greedy now, I guess, because he doesn't actually own the company anymore.
Well, that's the way it is. But, he has to do his job, and that is his job. So I think something will happen. Monica will be there.
Yeah.
I don't take stuff like that too seriously. Oh, so let's go back to my prediction, Steve. Now, I want you to just go out on a limb this time. Mark Webber! You think?
No. Sebastian Vettel! Yeah, it's like it was at Silverstone. Until someone proves that they can out-qualify these guys, it's the Red Bulls.
Not only that, but I think the Red Bulls, they've both had a good talking to. They've sorted this stuff out. They realize both of them have to finish the races and just go with the decision that happens in the first corner, keep it clean, 1-2, whether it's Vettel or Weber, it doesn't matter.
And run the rest of the race in
exactly,
that position.
Exactly, you know, and just fight it out the rest of the season.
Exactly. Because the way they've been running, it's going to be one or the other on pole. It's just kind of a given at this point. And so far they've been making dumb mistakes because if they, you know, the whole turkey thing, if Sebastian Vettel plays that smart, the Red Bulls are probably leading the championship at this point. So it's just, and again, smart moves in Silverstone. If they'd been a little bit smarter at Silverstone, this team should be leading the championship, and they've really kind of done it to themselves outside of the first couple races where they had a couple of glitches.
Well, it's going to be exciting, but don't forget, McLaren may have sorted out the bugs in the blown diffuser, so they might be challenging. They've made a lot of good steps forward, and of course, Ferrari are out to make up for the disaster of Valencia and Silverstone, and now must haul in big points to stay alive. The Tifosi, the people, the Pope, everybody.
I really have a hard time putting any faith in the Ferraris right now just because they've just been not performing to their standard. They've kind of been a little bit scattered.
Well, I'll put it that way. I'm going out on a limb. Fernando on pole. Mark Webber second. Sebastian Vettel fourth.
There's no way the Ferrari's going to be on pole.
I'm telling you, they've come up with something new. Something exciting. It's going to happen. Fernando is taking his vitamins, and we'll see what happens. They have to do something.
Can eat a good spicy meatball before he gets in the car.
Something has to happen at Ferrari. They were the ones that were supposed to win it all at the beginning of the season.
And I'm not sure who made that prediction other than the fact that they had Fernando and a good car. But
exactly.
Especially after last season, the way the Red Bulls finished.
But they thought Fernando's 6 tenths would be enough to go all the way.
Yeah, it's too bad Newey's design put 8 tenths on the Red Bull.
That's very, very true. So there you have it. It's going to be a great Grand Prix. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. A quick reminder, after the Motorsports Mondial, which will be done by me, and it's just a quick
recap of the weekend's racing.
We have a great interview with three gentlemen, Teddy Yip, Daniel Marad, and Robert Wickens of Status Grand Prix. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the man himself, the Duke of Dijon, me. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go right to WRC. Citroën Racing has confirmed both Sebastian Loeb and Sebastian Ogier. For a minute there, I thought Ogier would go to Ford, but no. Citroën knows what they're doing, and they're keeping the good man.
And Ogier's like, hey, Mike, this car's faster.
Well, Danny Sordo will be hanging around. Ogier will replace Danny Sordo as Loeb's teammate full-time next season, although the Rally of Portugal winner will step up to the Citroën Total World Rally for next week's Rally of Finlandia.
Huh. I wonder who's going to really enjoy that race.
You think? I hope he stays sober. And for the remainder of the gravel rounds this season, Sordo will remain with Citroën next season, but his deal yet to be conducted or concluded because they still haven't put their budgets together. Also in the news in WRC, after months of speculation, Stephen, Mini and ProDrive will announce a World Rally Championship program. Pretty exciting.
Interesting.
Yep. Mini's first ever World Rally car, which will be based on the Countryman, has been in preparation for months at ProDrive's Banbury base, and the BMW 1.6-liter turbocharged engine recently arrived to turn a rolling shell into a full-blown WRC car. Testing of the new machine is expected to begin soon, and, as technical director David Lapworth said, once it starts, We will not stop.
Okay. They won championships with Subaru, didn't they?
Yeah, of course. Pro Drive, yeah. But now they've got minis, which is good. We need a new mark in there.
You need, yeah.
Citroën.
Two team race. Yeah.
No. And I'd like to see Toyota get back into the World Rally Championship.
Toyota, maybe Nissan jump in, you know. Renault, fun Nissan.
Well, I mean, yeah, that would be cool. Let's go right to Indy. Will Power took his fourth IndyCar win at the season of the season in a typically incident-packed Toronto race, thanks to a late pass on longtime leader Justin Wilson. Let's go right to the Super League. Race one, Chris Vanderdrift dominated the opening Super League Formula race of round six at Zolder in Belgium on Sunday, leading from start to finish to score Olympiacos' fourth win of the season. Race two, Julien Jousse scored his first ever series victory in the reversed grid race of Super League Formula at Zolder on Sunday for Roma. But the big news was that the other Italian club, AC Milan, has taken over at the top of the standings. And, of course, Sebastian Bourdais has quit the team that he was driving for, saying that they were a complete disaster, not ready to race, and he couldn't take it anymore. Let's go right to British F3 Series. Daniel McKenzie claimed a sensational maiden Formula 3 victory in this week's reversed grid sprint race at Rockingham. And Felipe Nasser scored his maiden British Formula 3 victory in a dramatic and controversial 40-minute feature race at Rockingham. So there you have it. Two maiden wins, two different drivers. Great stuff in British Formula 3.
Wow, must have had a stoppage if they had an F3 race go for 40 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the time limit. And also what's really exciting about F3, they have now mandatory pit stops.
Ooh, always fun.
Yep. Let's go right to the World Touring Car Championship, also known as WTCC. Ivan Mueller led Rob Huff home as Chevrolet. Get your Chevrolet for the USA.
Or as Nash would say, Chevy.
Yeah. Chevrolet dominated Sunday's first World Touring Car race at Brands Hatch. And, of course, Andy Priot scored his fourth win of the Touring Car season in a Sunday's second race at Brands Hatch for BMW. So Chevrolet and BMW coming out on top. And a quick reminder, this week's O Canada special interview, and of course we're talking Nasser Hamid speaking with Teddy Yip, of course Teddy Yip Jr., the team principal at Status Grand Prix. Lots of history there. His father had lots of history. Look them up. Fantastic stuff. And, of course, there are two drivers, Daniel Morod and Robert Wickens. And that is an outstanding interview. Nothing but great stuff. So there you have it. Motorsports Mondial and the interview all in a big goodie bag. We'll be back with the wrap-up after this brief message.
Okay, folks, I'm here with Teddy Yip Jr., a name synonymous with motor racing. Sir, first of all, thank you for your time. How are you today?
I'm very well, thanks, Nasser. I'm excited to get the cars out on track today.
Okay. You were born in a family with a lot of interest in motor racing. What's your earliest memory of going to races?
I think my earliest memory is playing in the garage underneath the house before the Macau Grand Prix.
And do you recall meeting some famous drivers in your early days?
Oh, I know there's a picture of me at about 1 year old being held by Roberto Guerrero.
Very interesting. Okay, you are now involved with GP3. Tell us why you got involved in this series, and if you're based out of Vancouver, Canada, if you're doing some motorsports in Canada also.
Well, GP3 seemed like the obvious choice. It's a major stepping stone to Formula One. All the top young talent is going to come through.
And is the program here just to promote Canadian drivers, or down the road you'll have non-Canadians also?
Oh, not at all. That's not the idea at all. It's merely a bonus to be able to promote some Canadian talent.
And what's your impression of the performance by your driver yesterday, Robert Wickens?
Robert did a fantastic job. He held off Gutierrez very well. If it wasn't for the yellow, I think he could have had P1.
Yeah. And your other car got involved in the first lap. What happened there?
That was just an unfortunate racing incident. Danny got touched on the rear right and sent him off.
And we have listeners all over the world. Would you have a message to them, please?
Watch the races. Enjoy GP3. It's going to be exciting.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, folks, I'm here in Catalonia with Canada's rising star of motor racing, Mr. Robert Wickens. Robert, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty good. You know, it's been a very good weekend for me, and excited to go on to the next one.
Okay, this is the first round of the new GP3 series. Your impression of the car and the competition before we talk about your two fine drives?
Through testing, we got a good feel for the car, and I felt like we made a pretty decent setup. And then really, you know, you never know where you actually stack up until you get to the first race, because everyone's putting tires on at different moments and all that stuff. But I think it was fairly competitive.
First race, you were second. You made a couple of moves trying to take the lead. Tell us a little bit about the race, please.
My first race went pretty well. I mean, had a decent start. I got held up by the pole sitter because he didn't get off the line well at all. So I actually had to go around him, which cost me some time. But no, I mean, unfortunately, for whatever reason, I couldn't get any slipstream on him. I would get within a car length and a half to two car lengths, and it would just stay there. And two cars back going into the first corner is a bit too high risk.
And Esteban Gutierrez was all over you trying to take your second spot. Was there any moment where you thought that he might get by?
To be honest, no. I felt like I defended him well. It was fair between the both of us, and I was never really concerned, to be honest.
And today the roles were reversed. You were all over him. How did that go?
Yeah, in race two, unfortunately, I wasn't aggressive enough into the first corner and only made up one spot. But then from there, I had a fairly decent run, got up to fourth, and challenged him once for third. But again, you know, the 3 points was a better option than not having any.
Yeah, good. Last year, you won the first two races of Formula 2 Championship. Give us a little review of your 2009 campaign, highs and lows.
Well, unfortunately, there was a big high right at the first race. You know, two poles, two wins, fast laps. Then we went through a series of lows in Brno and Spa where basically through some mechanical failures and whatever failures, you know, I didn't score points for three races. And then from there, I mean, unfortunately, for whatever reason, had a few reliability issues in 2009, which cost me quite a bit of points. I mean, I had 7 mechanical retirements out of 16 races, so it was a bit hard to take, but I think I'm a stronger person from it.
Yeah, and you're a very good racer too. Now, last year you were with Red Bull, then they dropped you from the program. And I was reading an interview in a Canadian magazine, Motorsports Magazine, and you were talking about Dr. Marco and the team was putting, Red Bull was putting a lot of pressure on you. Do you think that was unfair, and is this how they operate?
No, it's definitely fair, in my opinion. I mean, they're investing a lot of money in you, and they expect the best from you. And I enjoyed myself tremendously in the Red Bull Junior team, and I was grateful for what they did and to bring me as far as they did. And then unfortunately, I guess, comes to a time where I guess you have to go your separate ways.
Okay, in 2007 you raced in Atlantics and started your first race from pole, and I remember that very well. Won a race in Portland and finished the season third. At this stage, did you get any offers from IndyCar teams?
Actually, no, I didn't. Really, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I just went to Europe after that. Only got in talks with a few teams during this last off season.
Okay. You have raced in A1 GP, F2, F3, and GP3. And what I like about you, Robert, is you win a race very quickly in any series you go to. Which car had the sweetest racing rhythm, and which one was the hardest to drive?
I would have said the A1 GP. You know, that was by far the most fun I've ever had in a race car so far. You know, with the Lola, it was just, the car was sliding around all the time. It was very hard to get the lap out of it, and then to be consistent during a race was again very difficult. So it was definitely one of the high points of my short career so far, was driving for Team Canada.
Okay, in the Australian A1 GP round in the rain, you put on quite a performance. Will you please tell our listeners about that race?
Yeah, in Australia, we struggled a little bit in qualifying through a driving infraction penalty that I received, and then just a poor qualifying for the sprint. But no, in the first sprint race, we were running 14th, and started raining, and we stayed out on the dry tire. And in the last 8 laps, I was able to make a charge from 14th to 3rd to grab the final podium spot.
Now, racing is a dog-eat-dog world. Are you friends with some drivers off the track who are as quick as you are?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think that I'm a kind of a nice guy. I like to think that, you know, people sort of like me around the paddock enough to make a conversation. But no, I mean, as of right now, there's no rivalries or anything. I mean, I'm sure as the season progresses, that'll soon change.
Yeah. What got you interested in motor racing? Was there any interest in the family?
Not really, no. I mean, I found it on TV when I was really young, and then from there it was just, I got the bug and was just dying to watch more on TV and more on TV, and then I found out that there was kids that do go-karting, so then from there I kept on hassling. My dad sold his car so we could get a go-kart, and then that's the story, really.
Yeah, very interesting, and I wish you all the best. Will you please tell our listeners about Robert Wickens, the young man? By the way, we call you on our podcast, Toronto from Toronto. So tell us a little bit about yourself, what kind of music you like, what kind of food, your interests apart from racing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess music's a big part of my life. I think it's a big part of anybody's life. But to be honest, I like all genres of music. There's nothing in particular that I like or dislike. Enjoy playing some tennis every now and then, a bit of golf, but mainly it's just training, running, cycling, and trying to keep my own little empire going that I have. I mean, I'm managing myself right now, so I'm still trying to seek some sponsors and do the everyday things.
Sponsorship in good time is very hard to get. How do you find looking for sponsorship in this environment?
It's definitely tough, but nothing's impossible. You know, I've had some great support back home through a few people that's helped me tremendously, and it's I'm good for this year, but then we have to make the big step next year to either GP2 or hopefully Formula One.
Okay, great. Finally, how about a message for listeners of F1 Weekly? And we have quite a few listeners north of the border, pleased to tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, all I can say is I like to think that I'm a good example of don't give up on your dreams. You know, even if you don't come from a wealthy background, you never know who's watching. And I felt like I showed that quite well with when I got picked up by Red Bull.
Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. Okay, folks, with the sound of GP2 race in the background and apple eating Daniel Morad, we're going to have our next interview. Danny, how are you today?
Not too great. I mean, I was pretty bored during my race, and it all started from yesterday. I had a good qualifying session, and qualifying fourth, but the race didn't really go the way I wanted to. I had a good start, but the pole sitter moved over after having a poor start and just collected me, hit my rear tire and spun me around in the middle of the straight. I don't think I made it further than 100 meters, so really frustrating day yesterday and again today. The problem with the GP3 and even GP2 series is that if you have a bad Saturday race, then your Sunday race is, you know, going to be pretty tough because you start where you finish the previous race. So today was just about getting the mileage and trying to improve our race pace.
Okay. How about the depth of competition in GP3, and how do you like the new car?
The competition's tight. I mean, all the way back to 20th, I was stuck there. I couldn't do anything. All the cars are running, you know, very competitive times, and there's nothing between us. So when you get up behind another car, it's really difficult. You have no clear advantage because you just lose your downforce. And you basically just have to wait for a mistake from the car in front. And, you know, today there was no mistake in front of me, so I couldn't capitalize on anything. And basically at the end of the race, I was told to slow down just to see what our pace is like on our own in clean air. But, you know, at that point, my front tires were already pretty shot. They were in rough shape after following car in front for 10 laps. So I tried my best, and that's all that I could do today. But I'm going to come back and fight harder next time in Turkey.
Okay, tell us how this deal came together, and were you looking at other series also before you signed on for GP3?
Sorry?
How did this deal come together? Were you looking at other series also before signing on for GP3?
Well, not really. As soon as I heard of the GP3 series forming, I knew that this is the place to be, and you know, I got all the information I needed and all the background, and I was actually contacted by Status Grand Prix because I have a past working relationship with them in A1 when I was the test driver for Team Canada. So you know, it made sense to kind of run with this package in this series. So yeah, I guess it took a long time for it to fully come together, but that was the intention for the past 4 months now.
The goal has to be Formula One. What is the flight path?
Yeah, definitely the goal has to be Formula One, especially being in GP3. That's the, you know, ground level. And from here, I have to work my way up. And, you know, it's been difficult for me because I've been out of a car for a year. So, you know, this is my first true race in, you know, 12 months and 1 week. So, I mean, it's a bit different. I've been doing some karting back in North America, and I actually did the World Championships, but it doesn't compare to racing 30, you know, super talented drivers out there. And you know, it was definitely a good learning experience for me, and I guess it's going to make me sharper that much quicker.
So maybe we should call you this season the Michael Schumacher of GP3. How hard it is getting into a car and getting all your rhythm and grooves going after 1 year off?
It's pretty challenging. I mean, you can do the job, but you're never going to be 100%. And no matter who says they're 100%, they're not telling the truth, because it's impossible. How can you be 100% on it if you're not in the rhythm, you're not in the groove? I mean, 3/4 of these guys have driven in a race in the past 3 months. You know, a lot of guys do GP2 Asia, and you know, the GP2 Asia's last race was, you know, like a month ago. So I mean, these guys are fully prepped and ready to go, and they're never out of race tune. They're just constantly in it. So for someone like me to come in with 12 months off, it makes it extremely difficult because I'm not comfortable with cars around me. You know, I'm not 100% consistent yet, although I try, you know, my best to be. You know, there's going to be some, you know, fundamental mistakes to be made. So all I can do is just keep racking up the mileage and do my best to try to stay out of trouble.
Okay. During the racing season, Daniel, you're living in Europe in what area?
Well, I'm based right by the team in Toaster. They're actually...
Toaster? Are you talking about USF on Toaster?
Yeah, I guess so.
Are they available in Canada at a discount? Buy one and get a free Tim Horton donut?
You know, the first time I'm like, Toe-chester.
Yeah.
What is this place? Toaster. And funny thing is, I went to Silverstone 2008 to watch the British Grand Prix. And that's about the time I just got released from Red Bull. You know, the previous year I was released from Red Bull, and I was just there searching for something. And I mean, there was no harm in going. I organized a whole trip for myself with whatever money I had. And, you know, basically I was walking in the streets. It took me 7 hours to get from Heathrow to Silverstone. And during that time, I was picked up on the side of the road by Derek Daly. I'm good friends with Connor Daly, his son. So they noticed I was on the side of the road walking with, you know, three bags. So they picked me up and they took me to a place to eat. And funny, it was Toaster. And that's the first time I heard of it. I saw the sign. It's like, you're now entering Toachester or Toastchester.
So Derek Daly picking up you. So what was the meal like? Fish and chips and Guinness?
You know what? That's what he did have. I remember vividly. I had chicken breast and some potatoes.
Why am I not surprised?
Well, at the time, I wasn't big time into fish. But now I found a new obsession. And I love it. I think I'm going to go home and just eat fish nonstop because I'm cooking for myself now and I'm fully independent. I don't have a toaster yet. In Toaster, but...
So, I mean, have you been living in, like, Bhutan or Nepal that you've never tasted fish before?
I don't know where I've been living. I think I've just been scared of it because it's like I picture fish as something that can be your pet. It's like eating Nemo. I wouldn't want to do that. But, you know, it tastes good, so I guess Nemo can be eaten now.
Great. Okay, so, and I understand Robert Wickens is also staying or living or residing in England these days. Are you guys close together?
Yeah, we're right down the road from each other. I mean, walk to each other's house every day, and we're doing everything together. We're playing tennis, we're doing fitness training, we go to the shop together, play on the sim. Just basically we're pushing each other to the fullest, and I think it's really good. And we have a good working relationship from the past. I've known him since I was 9 years old. So we race each other. How many years now? Probably 6 or 7, including BMW. So yeah, I mean, we're really familiar with each other and we're comfortable. And of course it's competitive. It should be competitive. I don't expect anything other than that and competitiveness. So that's always good. I think the team's done a good job in getting us paired up because we have worked together in the past in Team Canada. So yeah, you know, I'm super comfortable. If I have a problem, he'll help me out. And if he has a problem somewhere, I'll help him out. So it's good in that sense that we're pushing each other.
Okay, well, if there is so much lovey-dovey going on, let me ask you a question. When 70-80% of the races are gone, and let's say you guys are running first and second in the championship, 2 points behind, who will be the Alonso, who will be the Hamilton? It's called cage rattling.
Well, hopefully by that point I don't have to worry about anyone around me. I'm just going to focus on myself and, you know, try to increase my pace as much as I can. I don't think that that at that point, you know, we've been in positions before where it's been down to the wire and, you know, been dead even going to the last round of a championship, and, you know, not once have we crashed each other. So that's pretty amazing that, you know, racing 7 years against each other and not having crashed once goes to show you how well we get along and how fair and competitive we are.
But there's always a first time for everything. A question for you. Let's say you're in the same team, same series now. Let's say whether it's you or him, one of them is not, car is not as quick as the other guy. Are you friends enough? You can go up, ask him, hey, well, can you help me out? Or what's your setup? Do you guys help out when it's really serious business?
Yeah, well, I mean, for one, like at the beginning of the season in testing, my first test back in the car, I was struggling on the first day with just braking and carrying speed into high speed corners. And I mean, it helped me out quite a bit and guided me through the whole thing and got me back into the loop of things. So that was really cool of him, and I appreciate it a lot. Going into, you know, last round of a championship, and if we're close in points, I don't know. I wouldn't expect, any help. I think at that point, it's every man for themselves, and you should be, in the groove enough to not need the help from your teammate.
That's when you start pouring the drink, barking dogs.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, I appreciate your time. Good to see you again. How about a message for listeners of F1 Weekly? And as you know, we have quite a few listeners in Canada also.
Well, I mean, I've been on the show before, and I enjoy speaking with you. Anytime you want to interview me, I have all the time in the world, and I really appreciate people for listening, and for all the supporters out there, really appreciate it sticking with me.
Thank you very much, A.
Thanks.
That was fun. Thank you very much. I really...
Teddy Yip, Daniel Morad, and Robert Wickens, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Let's go right to the wrap-up with the forum updates.
Forum updates this week from our buddy Kimmix, whose birthday was on Monday. Happy birthday, Kimmix.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kimmix. Happy birthday to you.
The forum has been busy despite there being no race this weekend just passed. Topics discussed include Jacques is back with funding from the Gaddafi family. The Apple versus Android thread is moving along quite well. Bruno Bombshell, Sean Dookbook Bombshell, and the Doctor is back. Iceman has posted some fantastic old F1 photos from the 80s in the Countryside thread. And Dr. Mark has also recently posted pictures from the Goodwood Festival of Speed and the classic Lotus Festival back in June. In the prediction competition, News Quala took the lead for the first time ever by 1 point over Cyan, while Interraptor continues to prop up the bottom of the table, mainly due to his constant snubbing of Hamilton in his picks. If you haven't already joined the forum, please come and join us for some friendly banter and discussion on everything Formula One, to why France is incapable of making great cars, to baked beans, and you want to.
I just don't understand that thread. I mean, we have Delage, Delahaye, Bugatti. What?
Renault,
Peugeot, Hotchkiss, Kenmetta, R8 Gordinis, Alpine A110s. They know nothing about nothing.
Matra.
Okay, let's go right to the wrap-up. Thanks for the forum updates, Chemex, and once again, happy birthday. I want to remind all our listeners that we have F1 Weekly hats for sale on the merchandise page.
Very lovely hats, they are.
Yes, and of course, we have a beautiful model, which is the daughter of our webmaster, modeling the chapeau.
Le chapeau.
So, get your hats while they last. And, I do these things maybe once, and then it's over.
Yeah, we did t-shirts once.
Yeah, we did back in the day. And this is the deal. If you order a hat, send me a picture of you or your wife, preferably modeling the hat.
Or your girlfriend.
Or your neighbor. And then we will post that picture on the front page for one day. As a reward.
As a reward for purchasing the hat. Yes. And getting the photo.
Okay, so there you have it. They come in blue, a nice blue, and a nice stone white. Off-white.
Off-white.
Ivory. It's sophisticated.
Sophisticated.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want a straight up white. That's just
no. That's too
for a hat.
That, no.
And it's like the first time you wear it, it's dirty.
Yes. So there you have it. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Red Line Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, just go to CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites, of course. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@F1Weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. And, of course, we certainly wish Nasser Hamid, our esteemed colleague, to have a really terrific time in Hockenheim. He covers the Grand Prix, GP2, and GP3 race. So thanks, everyone, and good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.